Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Notice three things here. You're saved by grace, but the channel is faith. Okay? And we will see in this, not only is the grace, we'll see, is something that comes from God. Faith does too, is a measure of grace. But then there has to be the human response, which we call believing. So there is something we have to do. People don't like that word, do, works, and obey, but there's no way around it. No one can get saved unless you consent to believe and repent and confess and do these things. But we're going to see how that'll be done. And then you'll understand some of the false teachings around these scriptures. Most time when people teach these scriptures, they leave off verses 10. You can always spot a heretic. Remember, you can remember this. You can spot a false teacher and a heretic. When he uses these three scriptures, he won't go to verse 10. There's a reason for it, and we'll see that as we proceed on. Okay, so we're seeing what? That it's grace whereby we're saved. What is grace in the context that we're talking about? You're going to see it's two things. It's God's favor or God's willingness to do something. When that comes from God himself. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Okay? And then we will see that it's something that works. It's interesting. You're going to see works is always there with grace. The same as when we get into James's verses. You're going to see that works is always there with faith. And you'll never see them used separately. They're always in conjunction. You're going to see grace, faith, and works used the same as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're never going to see them act. They may not be spoken at times, but you will see them there. You know, as you cannot have the gifts of the Spirit moving without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you will not see grace there unless you see faith and works. And that's how you're going to tell if it's false faith or false grace. And see, the Scripture is going to check Scripture on this. Okay, to start off with, to give an example of the grace, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the gospel of grace, okay? It's the gospel of grace. What do we see here then? We're seeing then that the human faith and the faith that God gives is the gift of that God gives that man is capable of believing when God acts upon him and opens his eyes and illuminates him, that he can remove the veil. See, that's God's grace. It's his gift that says, I will remove the darkness and let you see, but you still have to see. You can say, no, I'll close my eyes and I won't see. Then that grace will not avail you. So you do have something to do with this, okay? But notice then, it's God's grace that what comes? The word of the gospel. He sends the word of the gospel. Who does he send it through? The preachers and the teachers. And they are called and gifted according to grace and the measure of faith. So when they are called to preach the gospel, God has already extended grace to someone. Paul will show us this, that he couldn't preach the gospel until he was given a measure of grace and faith to do it. And so what we're seeing is what? Even before you can believe the gospel or hear the gospel, what do you have first? You have grace. You have God extending himself. That's God's prerogative. It's the same as when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you saw grace when God sought them out. He was not obligated to seek them out. So again, this is grace. God saying, I will. This is extension. God's grace often is extension of his love and his compassion and his slowness to wrath. But ultimately, it's God's choice. Again, I will be gracious. So when we see this kind of grace in action, what we're saying is, God is saying, I have chosen to do this. I don't owe you nothing. So in that context, it has nothing to do with us. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God is obligated to show justice in all cases. But at times, he can extend grace or withhold grace. That's his privilege. And so if in that context, grace always comes first. Grace has to come before faith can come. No man comes to the Father lest the Spirit of my Father draw him. You can't believe on the Lord Jesus until the Holy Spirit begins what? To draw and open the eyes. So who does it start with? It starts with God always. Okay. So we see then that faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of grace. The gospel's called the word of grace, or the word of His grace. So once it's spoken through the messenger, once it's revealed, grace has been extended. But that does not mean the person is saved. That person can reject grace and the faith that's given, or he can accept it. See, there's where man's choices come into play. God never touches man's free will, but he can extend the grace. Man must either accept it or reject it. That's our duty, and that's what we can do. And it's never taken from us until it actually is never taken from us. Okay? That's what makes us unique. Okay, so we see then that grace came. Okay, go back. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What is the gift of God? That you were saved. Your salvation, which was given by God's grace and faith and your belief. So you'll see the combination here. In a sense, then, our believing is our working. It's something we do. We refuse or accept. And actually, what we see is here is then, he's telling us that something happens. That when God chose to save us, the plan was his. We didn't come to God and say, I'm ready to be saved, like many people think they can. You know, or I'll get saved whenever I want to. Scripture doesn't teach this anywhere. It says, go out and preach the gospel. But those who will preach the gospel are supposed to be called and empowered. And that's why many people are accepting a false gospel, because they got false messengers. And many people are given a mental assent when the Holy Spirit has not given grace and the Spirit's not working. So they have a mental assent to God and Scripture, and demons have this, but it does not save them. See, there's the difference. Many people, most professing Christians, have that kind of grace and faith. The problem with it is God hasn't done anything. They've been talked into a few Scriptures. They've been given a little mental game. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Oh, yeah. And the Holy Spirit's not convicted of sin, and the Holy Spirit's not drawing them, so they cannot be saved. But they've been talked in. And most professing Christians have that kind of faith and grace, and it's false according to Scripture. Okay, what does he mean then? We go down. It's not of yourselves. Look at verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, the word works here, he wants you to understand, he means human works. It's nothing you can initiate. God has already done the plan. And what is he talking about here? Okay, he's not saying, people say, well, you can't do nothing, it's all grace and faith. Scripture didn't say that. Never says that. Because you have to believe and confess and repent. So you're doing something, aren't you? Or you refuse to. So this ain't what he's talking about. Okay, what is he talking about here? That it's not of yourselves, not of works, human works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, go over to the Gospel of John. And John will explain this to you. Chapter 1. What is not of our works that he's talking about? Chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Okay, before this could happen, what was going to happen? The Spirit had to draw them. God had to extend grace, okay, for the gospel to be preached. Okay, then when they responded, how did they respond? They were saved through faith. How? God gave them a measure of faith, and they responded by what? Believing that. See, that's the human side, is believing. We can call it human faith. But God gives the faith, and yet they must do what? They must believe or accept what he gives them. See, and he opens their eyes. See, he's the opener. Okay, who were born? Okay, when a person's born again, when the Holy Spirit extends grace and faith and man believes. Okay, notice, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So what is he saying here? He's going back, he's saying this work of salvation was not man's plan. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan in the beginning. That's what he's talking about that was not man's work. Man didn't come up to God and say, well, I'll figure out how to save myself. I've got a good plan, God, and won't you go along with this? So simply what he's saying is, when he says not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, he's saying has nothing to do with flesh and blood. It has nothing to do with man's plans. This is the will he's talking about, the will of man. He's not saying the will of man has nothing to do with you being saved. You have to exercise your will to believe to be saved, don't you? So see, he isn't talking about. He's talking about the plan of salvation that God laid from the foundation of the world that we saw in the garden with the promise being given. And all of the promises through the prophets and the Psalms, the plan of salvation was God's plan. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. What did he do? It was God's grace, motivated by love, that he sent his Son. So we see grace began it. Then man has to will. But what is the will he has to use? He has to believe and obey. And we're going to see where that falls in. Okay, so go back to Ephesians. So what is he saying? This grace that God gives a measure of faith, and if we respond to it and believe, then we're saved. The Holy Spirit does this. But he says it wasn't your plan. You didn't think up this plan. God did. You know, it didn't originate with you. When God said, you know, will you accept the plan? See, we say when you get saved, you're not coming up with your plan. That's called will worship. You know? We must accept God's plan, and God has said what? I have made no other way but through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, or the life. And no man comes to the Father. And then he said, many will try. Since that's what he's talking about, they'll try will worship. They'll try to bargain with God. You know, they'll try many things except for doing what God says. See, they're called thieves and robbers. And God's saying, but I don't recognize any of them. All of your works is as filthy rags. See, that's where Isaiah comes in. I have to extend the grace. I don't give you the option to do that. See? And so he's saying what? I have the plan. Will you obey the plan? That's basically what he's saying. So again, this is what he means here in Ephesians when he's saying it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. He says, you don't brag, oh God, I thought up a way for you to save me. Aren't I smart? See, he's saying you had nothing to do with the plan. You just must receive the plan. Will you accept the plan is what God's saying. Will you accept the preaching of the gospel and God's offering and the way God set it up? And man either says what? Yes or no. Or he'll either say, I'll accept your plan. And this is what the scripture means when God will count it to us as righteousness. If we accept Christ and the plan that God made in him, then God says, then I'm capable of accepting you. But that's the only way I'm going to do it. So he's saying there's nothing that you can do. Even the preaching of the gospel, even the messenger who preaches the gospel, Paul said is nothing. He was not to be proud. He said, why? He said, one plants the word of the gospel, one waters. He said, but God gives the increase. So the messenger is obligated. So if you lead somebody to the Lord, there's nothing for you to brag about. You did your duty to God. And if you didn't do your duty to God, you're in trouble. So again, it's nothing to do with you. You simply chose to obey God when he called. You see, that's what Paul said. He was given abundant grace, and he was called to preach the gospel, and he did. And he didn't take credit for winning souls. He took no credit for it, because he knew what? It was Christ in me doing this. See, he understood this principle. So he's saying, don't get bragging about anything. You have nothing to brag about. You were simply spiritually smart enough to say, I'm not going to fight God. And I won't be proud and arrogant. I will just submit to his will and be humble. See, that's God gives grace to the humble. But those who won't come his way, what does he say? He resists them. He will not give grace to them. See, God has set the means of even how he gives his grace and when he will withdraw it. Okay. Now let's go to Ephesians 2:10. Well, back up. It's not of human works, lest anyone should boast. But we were saved by grace through faith, for we are his workmanship. Okay, now the word works is coming into play. What is he saying? When God saved you by grace through faith, He didn't say it was a long period here. It was the instant, immediate thing here. He saved us for what? Notice what he says here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So God did a work. People said, what? Yes, grace was working. You're going to see that all through Paul's teaching, that grace works. It labors. It does something. So why are people afraid of this word, works? See, but it's God's work. But it does produce something. It labors. It has an effect on things. It's a power. It's an ability. When God acts on anything, see, it's the life of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord that begins to do something. And you'll always see a laboring, a work being done. When God created the earth in 7 and 6 days, he did it by his grace and power. But he said he worked. His grace and power worked. It did something. And we need to see the same effect here. Okay, so when he saved us, when we entered the kingdom, when we were born again, when we committed our life to the Lord, when we started on the narrow path, when we entered the walk, we began this thing, it was automatically what? We are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He's saying what? We were put into Christ, and Christ was put into us. Grace was put into us. The ability to believe and have faith, and the power to work is put in us. But we'll see it's not our work, but it's something we have something to do with. And notice what he says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, without good works, the person is not in Christ Jesus. So when people are going to try to tell you they're saved and they don't have to do anything, they're preaching a lying gospel because it's never separated. See? The grace that God gives is an ability to do and be. Why? It's Christ in us. And we will see, what. Before we go on, so you'll understand where we're going from here. He says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now notice he's talking about our salvation. And now he's saying that God prepared, when he laid the plan of salvation into effect, that we would be what? We would be a workmanship of good works. What's good works? To bear the fruit of the Spirit. To bear the fruits of righteousness is what it is. It's to produce something. Okay? And notice we said that we should walk in them. It's in the continuous tense. That when God saved us, the only way he saved us was to continue in him. He didn't give us salvation and say, now you can go live your life. Now you're saved. False teaching says that your past, present, and future sins are forgiven. It's never taught in Scripture. When a person is saved, only their past sins are removed. And their present sins can only be dealt with as they walk in the Spirit. And the future sins are never mentioned. See? It's false teachers who teach that. To excuse people from their duty to God. See? There's the danger. So that's why many people always emphasize when they were saved. I'm not interested when they were saved. I'm interested are they saved today. See? Because they may have been saved and now they're lost. They may be carnal, backslidden, lukewarm, and worldly, and the Scripture says they'll go to hell. So what good was it if they were born again? It has not affected them. They died again. Paul said that he had to labor in the Spirit that Christ would be formed in some of those again. Isn't it interesting? So again, it's good to have an experience, if you still have the experience. But you know, it's like telling somebody you were healed 20 years ago, and yet you got the same disease today. Well, who cares? You say, well, does that matter? You got it now. And we need to look at our walk with the Lord the same way. Okay, what is he talking about then? He saved us for a workmanship. He did a work when he saved us. What did he do? He placed Christ in us. And he placed us in Christ. There was a unity there. He who have joined himself to the Lord is one spirit. He's talking about now what? You've been grafted in. He's talking about a union now. Okay, before we go on, go over to chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So you'll see what he's after. He's already talked about. In him, you also trusted Christ. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, or the gospel of grace, in which also having believed, you accepted God's grace and faith, and you believed. You were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Okay? What was that? When you were saved, the Holy Spirit entered you. The Spirit of Christ, that was the sealing. That was the spiritual baptism. When He entered you, what did He do? He came to give you the ability to stay saved. He gave you the ability to follow Him. So He didn't save you as... It ain't like many people think. You know, the woman walks through the woods 300 years ago and stoops down and drops the baby. You know, and then she goes on about her business. And that's how people's salvation today is taught. That God just sort of dropped them on the ground and went on His way. And nobody ever talked about the baby starving to death and never going on. See, God doesn't do that. That's false religion that teaches this. And you'll hear people say, well, at least they're saved. No, they're not. And if they were, they're not going to stay saved. Because they didn't continue on the milk of the Word to grow. And so they died. And that's what Paul said happened to the Galatians. Instead of continuing in grace, they want to go back to the law and ordinances. And he said, then I'll labor again until Christ is formed in you. He actually told them they lost their salvation. Because they proceeded to go back to an old system that was obsolete. So when people want you to go back to when you were born again, baloney! Unless it's a testimony that you're still walking in. Don't matter how or when you were saved. Some people, it takes several salvations before they make it. Some people have to come back to God a few times. And God's gracious enough in many cases to accept them. And in some cases, He does not. Okay, but He said what? When you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise was when the Spirit came to dwell in them. Okay? And this is what He's talking about. He came to indwell and live. This is what Jesus said. I'm going away, but I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come. And this, I will send the Spirit. He said, I won't leave you orphans. So He connected Himself with the Spirit as being Him coming. To dwell where? In them. Okay, who? The Spirit of promise is the installment of our inheritance. Notice the key word here. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is He saying? You started your salvation and you began it when you believed the gospel. And the Holy Spirit's been given to you that you can continue in Him until you're finally purchased, which is when? When you drop dead or you're raptured. It's when you finish the race. It's when you're an overcomer. It's when you've endured to the end. This is what He's talking about. So He's telling you what? The person was saved, and as he continues in the Spirit, as he continues in Christ, he stays saved. So we are being saved. You know, we were saved and we are being saved, but it is not final. Between here and the finality, we can forfeit the grace. We can despise the Spirit of grace. We can fall away. We can become an unprofitable branch and be thrown aside. So what has happened? The Spirit has been given to us what? It's God's working in us. And He's saying what? I will put you in Christ Jesus, but you stay there. I will give you the grace and the faith and the ability to stay there, but you stay. Notice He always puts it back. And then He said, in every branch who does not stay in me, does not continue in me, does not walk in me, He says, my Father will cut it off and throw it aside. So He's telling us something here that He believed that this salvation was a life. That Christ is made unto us salvation and redemption. Often it's used in the present tense, in the continual tense. And that's why when Acts, when they preached the gospel, immediately when people believed and received it, if you see the four times it's mentioned, three out of the four basically, it said, and they exhorted them to continue in the faith. You were talking about their salvation. It said that they would continue in grace. That they would continue in the fear of the Lord. That they would continue in righteousness. Isn't it interesting that they preached that from the beginning? They didn't say, oh, you're saved now, you don't have to worry about nothing. Never taught that. They taught you had just entered the kingdom and how you're to stay in the kingdom. It was always in the progressive, continuous sense. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10, remember we said coming back that faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. What did you have? God giving the message, sending the messenger. That was His grace. They preached the word, and God's grace to the hearer gave them the faith to believe if they choose to believe. He removed the veil, and he smites them with the sword of the word, strikes their conscience with the truth, and they can say, this is true, and I'll accept, or no, I don't want this. See, they're given the ability to choose. And many chose to obey Jesus, and many chose not to follow him. And many disciples left him later because they couldn't continue with him because he told them about some hard things. And it said, and they didn't follow him no more. And when they left, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, will you leave me also? And they said, whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Peter, knowing this, and Jesus knowing this, when those disciples left Jesus, they left eternal life. They were like the prodigal son. They left the father's house. They couldn't continue with him. But they were called disciples and believers because they did start. And they did follow him a while. See? But didn't Jesus teach in the parables? Remember, he said they endured for a while. But when trials and tribulations come because of the word of the gospel, they did not endure. So they fell away. Well, Jesus gave us the perfect example. Many did that with him. So don't be surprised when people fall away. Okay, we said grace and faith and works. You see it always together. The work that we're talking about as a believer is the work of the new man. It's the work of our union with Christ. It's not the old man, the natural man, doing his thing. See? The believing was actually the new man that Christ formed when he gave faith and they said, I believe. I accept the terms of the covenant. So he gave them the right, the ability to become the sons of God. Paul's going to express it another way. Look at 15 verse 10 and 11. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What was he? He was saved and called to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And mainly an apostle to the Gentiles. He was to offer the way of salvation to the nations. And notice what he said. And his grace toward me was not in vain. He believed it could have been. See? He meant what? It wasn't wasted. When God saved me, Paul was saying, and put me in the ministry, he said it wasn't in vain. I didn't misuse it. See, that's why he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He got grace to preach it and to stay with God. And he said, a curse on me if I don't. See, he understood this. So he was saying what? When God gave me grace, I didn't spurn it. So when God gives people grace to be saved, they should not resist the Spirit. Because the hardening comes in. Or they can blaspheme the Spirit one day. And the Spirit doesn't have to extend grace. He's called the Spirit of grace. But he's not required to keep extending himself when people keep hardening themselves toward him. And many times he doesn't. Okay? And notice what he says here. Here's what I wanted you to see. Will we say grace, works, and faith? You're not going to separate. You're going to see all three of them. And he said, what? His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored. What did he do? He worked. The word is worked. He labored. He did something. Do, work, labor. They're interchangeable. And notice how he tells us, I labored more abundantly than they all, the other apostles that were called for the ministry. They weren't given the ministry to the nations that he was given. But notice what he says here. I labored more abundantly than they all. Was he afraid of the work? No. But notice he doesn't take credit for human work here. Watch what he says. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Who's the I here? The natural man. He was saying, I didn't do this on my own. But he did say, I labored. Now, is he contradicting himself? No. He's telling you the one I is the new man. The other I is the old man. And he's making a distinction here. And notice what he says. I labored, the new man, labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, the old man, but the grace of God which was in me. All right, what did the grace of God do in the new man? He worked. He labored. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So he's telling us this is what he's talking about. See, the danger with a false gospel is they're saying you accept everything Jesus did and you just believe it and you go live your own life because God's covered it up. This was the teaching of the Nicolaitans that Jesus came against. See, they believed that their spirit was saved and didn't matter what they did with their soul and body, so they went and sinned, and they thought they were Christians. And Jesus said he hated that teaching and he would destroy them with death. word spiritual death, those who follow that kind of teaching. So it hasn't changed. So if anybody teaches you have a license to sin and you can be a Christian and stay in sin, they're not only a false teacher, and if you believe it, you're on your way to hell with them. And yes, definitely they go into hell because much blood is on their hands. Okay, notice what he said though. Labored, but God's what? Grace was doing the work. See, when God extended grace and we were saved through faith, His grace created what? A workmanship in us unto good works. We see that what? Grace was in action. Grace was producing something. And it always does. Therefore, whether I or they, so we preached and you believed. Okay, notice what do you have here? Labor, grace, and faith. See, you see he's just expressing it a different way now. He said, I came and preached the gospel by grace, but the grace worked through me. It was a work. And it did a work in you when what? When you believed. See, when you believed, then what happened? We go back to Ephesians. He saw what happened. He says, you are saved by grace through faith, and that's how you are saved. It produced what? Salvation. So he was telling us, once you believe the grace, once you accept it by faith and you believe the message, he says, you were saved. So you saw all three working. It was a working of God. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to convince you of sin. And it takes you to work, to respond and say, I repent and I confess and I accept the word. See, you have to do that. Nowhere does it say God does that. Nowhere in Scripture. That's why 40% of the epistles tell you to do something, but it always tells you, if you read the whole context, you can do it, but you do it with God's help. You do it by grace. But it never said that God would do it in spite of you. See, many people think God's going to do something whether they do anything or not. Scripture never teaches this. It says, he that has joined himself. One scripture says, we are workers together with him. You'll never see the separation between the divine and the human. But the human side now is the new man. Created for good works. He is capable of doing God's will. The old man and the natural man cannot. It's unacceptable. But God says, because I've given you the sealing of the Spirit, because I've caused the Spirit to dwell in you, now he comes as what? The helper. What does he help you? To do the will of God. To work his work. To believe his work. See, he gives faith unto faith, the scripture says. He gives more grace. You see, it's a progressive thing that goes on and on. Okay, go to Philippians chapter 2. So we found that grace works. Faith works. True Christians have work in them because grace is working in them. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. We read this recently. Look at verse 12 and 13. He explains it another way. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he's saying you've obeyed the word I've sent you, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What are you told to do? Work out. Who's doing the working out? The new man. It's you now. It's not the old man working. You know, like he said, well, he just has to sit and wait. No, God, he says your work is together with him. He said, because I've sent my Spirit, you can do what I require. See? Under the law, they could not do a lot. Because he didn't enter them the way he's entered us. He said, I will give you the ability to do. So when the Father said, be holy for I'm holy, then he says, Jesus is in you, you can be holy. And he says, I created you to be holy and righteous and walk in newness of life, which was holiness. So he requires it. But he gave the grace to do it. So when many people are telling you you have to sin every day in word, thought, or deed, and you can't be holy, that's a messenger of the devil. It ain't a messenger of God, because the Scripture never teaches this. You don't want to be holy, or you disobey. That's why you don't walk in holiness. There's no other reason. You refuse to walk in the Spirit, and you go back to the old man. And that's your choice. See, God don't... There is no irresistible grace. God doesn't take over people's minds. He can only get their consent the same way as the devil. The devil tempts you. God tempts us to good. But see, we have the consent. You don't override us. We're not robots. That's why people can backslide. That's why people can come to the Lord. That's why backsliders can come back to the Lord. That's why sometimes they can't when the door is shut. See? But up until God shuts the door, you have free will. Okay? And notice what he says. You is the implication. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't hear this much, do you? Your salvation must work. How does it work? You produce good works. You produce the fruit of the Spirit. And he'll just put it many ways. You do that by abiding in Christ, by abiding in the Word, by keeping His Word. He tells you all of these different little ways they come at the same thing. You put on the new man, and you put off the old. See, it's all of these are connected with what? Fear and trembling. It says it's a serious matter. Acts says they walked in the fear of the Lord. And the church, one of the first times they walked in great fear of the Lord was when he killed two liars. When he killed two believers and sent them to hell because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit and lied. And God struck them dead, and it says, and fear came on the church. What was God teaching his people? Don't trifle with me. You know? They thought they were playing a trick with God because of their greed and their covetousness and their pride. And they were believers. And yet they let wickedness come in. And they were confronted and they lied. And Peter said, you can lie to me. You can fool the minister. But in this case, God, the Holy Spirit, was asking the question. So you can fool the minister all you want. You can fool me. But if I speak by the Spirit and you lie, you might be in a dangerous position. You know, God may shut you out of the kingdom. That's his right. He threatened the ones in the book of Revelation. He said, I'll come against you with the sword of my mouth and kill you, give you spiritual death. What is that? I'll remove my lamp from you. That's his right. So what is he telling us? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It means be respectful of God. He does not tolerate sin and disobedience. He does not tolerate these things. As a lifestyle, he won't. And when there's sin, there must be quick repentance. You'll notice Jesus said, repent quickly. You know, so don't let people tell you they're Christian, but they're not following the Lord. They're already deceived and on their way to hell. See, they've already been blinded. It can't happen. You cannot walk in the flesh and stay there and be a Christian. There's no way. So he made it very plain. That's why he says with fear and trembling. Why? The Father's looking, and he's saying the branch isn't bearing fruit no more. The branch is not drawing grace. The branch isn't having faith and trust anymore. The branch isn't obeying. What am I going to do? And he says, I don't see the life of Christ. I don't see the new creation. All I see is self, self, self. And he says, then cut it off and throw it aside for it to be burned later. He hasn't changed. See, God hasn't changed. People change. God doesn't. Okay, notice what he said, though. So you're to work it out. For it is God who works in you. What's working in you? God. And how is he working in you? By grace. See, it's grace. Who is it? Christ in you. He is the Spirit of grace. His word is the word of grace. Okay? So he's saying what? He's doing a work. You know? But notice, he put part of it on you, the new man, and then he says, and I'll do my part. He that is joined to the Lord. So you never have to worry about God doing his part. The problem's never been God. It's always man's part. Okay? And notice what he says. For it is God who works in you both what? To will and do of his good pleasure. Okay, what is he doing? By grace, willing and doing. Now, see, he's not going to will against your old man. You're going to be tempted because you have an old nature that wants to raise up, and it has its own desires. But you have a new nature that wants to do God's will. And he's saying your new nature can say no to your old nature. And God requires you to. And see, many people won't. So what does he work to do? If you work out your own salvation, the new man, how do you do that? You walk in the Spirit. You walk in His Word. You walk in obedience. You walk in faith. And then what? It keeps coming. And he's saying, if you do this, then God's grace will be working in you, and you'll be fruitful. You'll produce something. And what is he saying? The new man will grow in grace. And so what do we see? Will and do, you have faith and works there. Isn't it interesting? If you look closely, God works by what? Grace. But he works to do what? To will and to do. You do the believing, and you do the laboring, the working. You see, again, you always see the connection. But it's always associated with the new man. See, there's the difference. That we can and must do the will of God, but we do it with God's aid and help. See, that's what the Scripture means. There is no teaching in Scripture that you get saved and then you just go live because somehow you're mystically sealed and God took your salvation and buried it in the ground till the day of judgment. There's no such teaching in Scripture. It's false gospel. It's a lying gospel. And there's millions and hundreds of millions of people going to wake up in hell and the torments of hell saying, "But I believe, Lord, Lord." And he's going to say, "But I don't know you, cursed of my Father." But they believe. Many backsliders will be in hell banking that God's grace was going to cover them while they were in sin. And it didn't. Because he never will. Okay. Moving along. Galatians 2:20. He puts it another way. This walk of faith, this life of faith, again, is in the continual sense. Okay? Look at 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Who was crucified? The old man, the natural man, the sinful man. Okay? So we got that clear? But Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. He's talking about the old man now, the sinful man, his power. But Christ lives where? In me. We are what? Created in Christ Jesus. He's come to dwell in us. And the life which I now live. Okay, what life? The new man's life he's talking about now. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, he means my human self now, I walk by the spirit of the newness, the new man. This is what I walk and live by. He said, I live by faith in the Son of God. How is he living this life? By faith. Faith is continual. See, it was never a one-time act. That just gets you in the right road. That just gets you on the ship. That just gets you grafted in. But he said what? He said, I live this life, this new life. By what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, we talked about baptism. Remember, we were crucified with him. And you were baptized last week or so. Remember we said, and when you came out of the water, you had newness of life. The new life then is to control you. So Paul was saying what? I am not ruled by the lower nature anymore. He didn't say it wasn't there. He said the life I live, the new life, the new man is in the Spirit. And it's a new work that he's doing. But it produces fruits of righteousness is what Paul calls them in another place. It produces the life that God is interested in. Okay, let's take a break.